A few years back, my friend Justin Warner from Food Network moved out to South Dakota. He opened a ramen joint, and he is always posting pictures of all the great food he's not only cooking, but eating all over South Dakota. He's always telling me to come visit. And you know, one of the best ways to experience a new place is to eat your way through it. But it's equally important to live your way through it, too. And when you summer in South Dakota, you can fill up on all the lake days, hikes, rides, and small-town strolls that'll leave you with a regained sense of wonder and a hunger to do it all over again. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and we're coming to you from the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York. Oh, do we have a special treat for you today? We're sharing one of the most popular Sporkful episodes of all time. This episode went into our premium vault 5 years ago, and to this day, I still get more questions about this one than any other show we've ever done. I get tagged into Twitter feuds about it constantly, especially around the 4th of July, and it's something that I do feel very strongly about. And the question at hand for this episode, is a hot dog a sandwich? Now, I understand that today this debate is commonplace, but years ago, the Sporkful was at the forefront of this great philosophical question. I'll make an analogy. You read Shakespeare, right, as you do, and you may think, that plot twist seems a little trite. I kind of saw that coming. But like any work of art, you have to consider Shakespeare in the context of the time period when he was writing, when those plot twists were revolutionary. Yes, in case you're having trouble keeping up, in this analogy, this workful is Shakespeare. It was a packed house when I took the stage with John Hodgman in 2015. You may know John as a comedian, the author of many brilliant and hilarious books, and host of the podcast Judge John Hodgman, which is why I refer to him as Judge Hodgman here in this episode. Now, I do love John's work, but we have a long-running feud over the status of the hot dog.
We have a caller named John calling in from Brooklyn. Hi, John.
Yes, this is John Hodgman calling.
Excellent.
Hello, Dan Pashman. I could not listen to this hot dog as sandwich heresy any longer.
On this issue, I believe Judge Hodgman is way off base. A hot dog is a sandwich because it passes my two tests.
This is an asked and answered piece of settled law in the Judge John Hodgman canon. And anyone like that Dan Pashman at the Sporkful podcast who says to me one more time, it's a sandwich because the things are sandwiches between two pieces of bread.
Yes, Studio 1A this morning. It's a philosophical question. Hot dog, sandwich or not a sandwich?
No, not a sandwich. Mm-mm. It's a hot dog. It's its own thing.
Yes, this was a hot topic on the Today Show back in 2015. At the Bell House that night in Brooklyn, John and I met face-to-face for the first time. I came to argue that a hot dog is a sandwich. John came to argue that it's not. We set it up just like a presidential debate. John and I stood side by side in front of music stands because real podiums were too expensive. Our moderator for the event was a woman whose journalistic integrity is beyond reproach, the host of WNYC's On the Media, Brooke Gladstone.
The format for tonight's debate is as follows. I'll ask a series of questions, allowing for rebuttals at my discretion. At the end, a winner will be chosen by audience applause, as measured by the applausotron, which I have here next to me. The applausotron is a rather antiquated device, so in the event of an unclear reading, I will be solely responsible for interpreting its output. Judge Hodgman, New York State law considers a hot dog a sandwich for taxation purposes. Why is that law wrong? And how should our tax laws be amended?
What I really like to address is simply this. First of all, I want it to be clear, if you look over at the music stand of Dan Pashman, dude has all kinds of notes and clippings. I was not told that I could bring old-timey newspaper clippings.
You could have if you showed some initiative.
Dan Pashman has provided me with a music stand with a single blank piece of paper on it. Which, if you're listening to the podcast, I'm crumpling up right now because I don't need evidence of the type that Dan Pashman has. I need a music stand that will hold my glass of whiskey and my hot dog.
You know, I don't know whether you consider me an anchor from MSNBC or CNBC or Fox News, but I will not be gainsaid. My question is, why is the New York State tax laws wrong, and how should our laws thus be amended?
Great question, Rachel Maddow. Let me just say, some time ago, this is how I came to this. Some time ago, I received a letter for my Judge John Hodgman column in the New York Times Magazine, in which a young man, whose name I don't remember and don't care about, said, "My friend and I are having a fight as to whether a hot dog is a sandwich." And I had never considered this before, but like many of you, it suddenly clutched upon my imagination, and I had to come to the answer. On a base level, instinctive, I dare say gut, I knew or felt that there was something strange about the hot dog, but I approached it methodically. And so I tested it against what I knew to be sandwiches. Clearly, it was not a roast beef sandwich or even a bologna sandwich, to which it shares a lot of DNA. But clearly, it did not share the form and shape of a traditional bread-filling bread sandwich that we know as sandwich. So I was tempted to think it was not a sandwich until I thought, oh, but what about the submarine sandwich, the hoagie, the grinder, the zep?
Which the New York State tax code also regards as
no one
sandwiches.
Cares what the New York State tax code says.
John,
the moment we put
the
government in charge of our sandwiches
up.
Is the moment that we surrender all of our liberty.
You have 20 seconds.
No, I don't.
Mr. Pashman, stand in front of your mic.
Yes.
Most dictionaries say that for a food to be a sandwich, it must have two pieces of bread, but a hot dog bun is but a single piece. Does this not support Judge Delay the Answer Hodgman's position?
Well, I mean, quite frankly, Madam Moderator, I'm having a hard time figuring out what Judge Hodgman's position even is.
I'm not sure how that is possible.
A hot dog bun counts as a sandwich bread. It is a hinged bun, like the same bread on which you would make a meatball sub. Okay? Well, you can sever the hinge of a meatball sub or a hot dog bun, and you do not fundamentally alter the structure. At its core, a hot dog is a piece of meat between two pieces of bread.
No. What?
Yes.
No.
Yes, it is.
No.
In what way is it not?
I was so with you, my friend. Wait, you're right. It is very much like a meatball sub. This was the thing that gave me so much pause.
And is a meatball sub not a sandwich?
Of course it's a sandwich. All submarine sandwiches are sandwiches.
So what's the difference between a meatball sub, which is a piece of meat on a hinged bun, and a hot dog, which is meat on a hinged bun?
Two responses. First of all, you said at its core, a hot dog is a piece of meat between two pieces of bread, which we all know is not true. The moment that the hinge breaks on a hot dog and it becomes two pieces of bread, you're holding a goddamn mess. Second of all, I want you to understand, I did not begin with a conclusion that I wanted and find a way to prove it. I accepted the proposition that a hot dog could be a sandwich, and then I looked for logical counterexamples to falsify or endorse that claim. Once I got to the meatball sub, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I paused. It's hard not to accept the obvious similarity between a meatball sub or a hoagie or a grinder or a zep or a wedge and a hot dog, because they are all on hinged pieces of bread. I looked and looked and thought about it for some time to find some disqualifying factor that would show the difference between these two different meals. And to me, and you already know this, Dan Pashman, you're setting me up, I realize, but I have to be true to myself. The thing that is true across all sandwiches, though it is not mandatory, it is certainly common that you will cut it in half. You might share it with a friend or eat the two halves separately.
No.
You will certainly. Certainly, you would go to a restaurant and you might be offered a soup and a half sandwich, but you would never be offered a soup and a half hot dog.
And while... Because you want the whole hot dog.
Yeah, I mean, because hot dog is an indivisible, unique thing.
Look, just because it is true that you don't typically cut a hot dog in half... doesn't mean that a hot dog is not a sandwich. All it means is that it may be a sandwich that traditionally is served in a different way. There are many, many kinds of lettuce out there that look and taste different and are shaped in different ways and are served in different ways. You would never say that one of those was not a piece of lettuce. You know, and I went through the, I should say, Judge, I went through the same kind of deep searching that you went through. And I actually started with an even broader philosophical quest than you did. I didn't start off saying, is a hot dog a sandwich, yes or no? I started bigger picture, and I said, what is the definition of a sandwich? And I went back to the Earl of Sandwich. The framer of the sandwich. I looked at the framer's original intent. Okay, this is why I've been called the Scalia of sandwiches. And I considered his original intent. What was the Earl trying to do when he created the sandwich? Well, I think he was doing two things. He was creating a food that he could pick up and eat with his hands without his hands touching the fillings. And second, I said that there must be some sort of sandwiching action, contrary pressure from two separate sides.
John Montague, the fourth Earl of Sandwich.
John Hodgman.
As legend goes, was an inveterate gambler. He was a completely incompetent administrator and leader of the Admiralty in England. And he wanted something that he could eat with his hands so that he wouldn't interrupt his card game. And folklorically, it is said that he called for a piece of meat, unspecified, which is in some ways support for the hot dog as a sandwich.
All right, that's the end of our show. Thank you.
No,
good night.
A piece of meat between two pieces of bread that he could eat with his hands. So, and I think that's a reasonable definition, except for the fact that he was a gambler and a drunk.
We got to take a quick break, but coming up, I will respond to the National Hot Dog Council statement that a hot dog is not a sandwich. Plus, we'll take audience questions in the town hall portion of the debate. Then the people will vote and a winner will be chosen. But not before a shocking twist. Stick around.
And now, a delicious word from our sponsors.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, a business tripper, or a long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. They've got over 7,000 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels, and you will get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. I especially love those Cambria Hotels. They have locally inspired hotel bars with all kinds of specialty cocktails, downtown locations right in the center of all the action. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces. That way, if you're a business traveler, you'll be able to get all your work done. On-site restaurants, fantastic. And then at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles and great pools for the whole family and spacious rooms. I mean, if you have kids, you understand the importance of the pool. If you stay at a hotel with a pool, almost nothing else matters. Fortunately, all the Choice Hotels take care of all the other stuff too, but I mean, a pool is a great start. Whatever kind of vacation you're going on, whatever kind of travel you're doing, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. This episode is brought to you by Merrick Pet Care. We have a dog. Her name is Sasha. She's almost four. She's a standard poodle. She's black and fluffy and soft and very adorable. And when we first got her, we took her to like this puppy kindergarten training class. The whole family went and, you know, they're teaching how to use the treats and all this. The trainer watched Sasha for a bit and said, she's very food motivated.
And my daughter Emily turned to me and said, she's a Pashman. And so she is food motivated, and that's why we make a point of feeding Sasha high-quality pet food. Founded in Hereford, Texas, Merrick has been crafting high-quality dog food for over 30 years. Real is Merrick's recipe, so they always use deboned meat, fish, or poultry as the number one ingredient. And let me tell you something. When it's dinner time, Sasha is motivated, okay? She is highly motivated to come in from patrolling the backyard at dinner, to get up off the couch, whatever she's doing, she will drop it and come running. Check out Merrick online or in your local pet store and look for their new packaging with real ingredients shown on the bag and inside it. I enjoy a nice glass of wine, but I don't pretend to be an expert in wine. I usually just want a wine that's high quality, delicious, and not too expensive. And to me, that's Bogle Family Vineyards. And here's the thing about Bogle. This is a third-generation family-owned winery from California that makes exceptional wines for about $10 a bottle. Bogle wines consistently earn Best Buy designations and high ratings from wine enthusiasts. And let me tell you something. The folks at Wine Enthusiast, they drink a lot of wine. They drink a lot of fancy, expensive wine. And yet they still keep giving great ratings to Bogle. And Bogle Vineyards has so many different kinds of wine. Whatever your mood, whatever you're eating, there's a wine for you. They got this great Pinot Grigio that's crisp and fruity, goes well with spicy foods, with fish. They have a classic Chardonnay that's balanced, amazing with a pork tenderloin or butter chicken. I like to take that Chardonnay and do what Jacques Pepin taught me, a couple of ice cubes in your glass of Bogle. If Jacques Pepin says it's okay, then it's okay. And there's the Bogle Pinot Noir, refined and elegant with bright fruit and about as food-friendly as a red wine can be. You're not going to believe it's only $10. Neither will your friends if you tell them. So pick up a few bottles of Bogle wherever you buy your favorite wines. Please drink responsibly. At Boar's Head, delicious is in the details. And you see that in their incredible selection of hummus flavors. Boar's Head hummus is expertly crafted to achieve the perfect balance of creamy texture and refined taste. You can taste those chickpeas. You can taste the tahini. You can taste a little bit of acidity. It's got it all. I especially love their roasted red pepper hummus made with fire-roasted peppers. You can even taste a little bit of that char. It's perfectly dippable. It's perfectly spreadable. This is the kind of thing you always want to have on hand in your refrigerator. Dip, scoop, spread, or smear Boar's Head hummus to your heart's content. Hummus so extraordinary, it can only be Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. On last week's show, we tackle another fiery debate between gas stoves and electric stoves. Turns out that debate's about a lot more than cooking. As people start to learn about the effects of natural gas lines on the environment, the gas industry is using stoves as a wedge issue.
The industry is fighting for its life to ensure that homes continue to rely on gas and new homes continue to have those gas lines. And it sees the gas stove as its best option for ensuring that future.
We also explore an alternative to both gas and electric stoves, induction. What is induction? How does it work? Does it involve lasers, as I believe? And can I, a crotchety gas stove enthusiast, be convinced to use it? Check out last week's episode to find out. Now let's return to my hot dog debate with John Hodgman. Now, days before this taping, back in 2015, this question that we're debating here was such a hot topic in the national consciousness that the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council felt they needed to come out and make a statement, and they said a hot dog is not a sandwich, which was a reversal of their previous position. Now, of course, John brought up that ruling because it's in his favor, but I was ready.
Has he just delivered the coup de grace?
Oh, no. Let me tell you something about the National Hot Dog Council. All right. The National Hot Dog Council is a lobbying organization. Of course it's in their best interest to say the hot dog's not a sandwich. They want it to have its own category. They acknowledge that it used to be a sandwich. Nothing about the food changed. Nothing about the definition of a sandwich changed. If it did, it only got broader. And yet somehow the food transcended the category? No, these are lobbyists. And I find it curious, Judge, that on your podcast, which I do love, where you are so careful to avoid buzz marketing of any kind, especially large corporate entities, that on one hand, you would be that way on your podcast, but you'll come onto my podcast and side with Big Hot Dog. J'accuse, Judge. J'accuse.
No, I don't side with them. I don't take their announcement that hot dogs are not sandwiches as support for my cause at all. If anything, I use their fickleness to demonstrate that we've gone back and forth over the definition of a hot dog as a sandwich. I came to the conclusion that a hot dog was not a sandwich because I use a stricter definition of what sandwich is than you do. Because the fact is that under your definition, almost anything would be a sandwich.
Judge Hodgman.
And part of the fallacy of your reasoning is
I'm
that you...
I'm sitting right here. Judge Hodgman.
I don't understand why three people lying on top of each other isn't a sandwich.
For the listener at home, we're lying on top of each other.
Judge Hodgman.
What
2 years
how can I
ago.
Help you, Brooke?
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for buying me that drink earlier. 2 years ago, when someone asked you whether hot dogs are sandwiches, on your own website, you responded, and I quote, yes.
Sure.
Are you a flip-flopper?
My opinion has evolved after I considered it more seriously. Look, I want to deal with the serious issues.
That sounds like a failing campaign right there.
I'm happy to go down in flames so long as I'm able to say my piece, which is this. Many, many cultures have food that is brought to the face and the eat hole by hands using some sort of bread-based launch pad wrapping or what have you. Simply because they share that similarity does not, in my mind, qualify them as a sandwich, which I believe derives from the very specific English Western European tradition of the roast beef sandwich that was defined by the Earl of Sandwich, John Montague, the fourth Earl of Sandwich. To say that something is a sandwich because it has ingredients that are sandwiched is a ridiculous rhetorical tautology, because sandwiched is a verb derived from the term sandwich. It postdates it. You might as well be using that to prove that an Oreo cookie is a sandwich, like the goddamn Atlantic magazine.
It is. An Oreo cookie.
That is
an
a
Oreo
controversial
cookie is
statement
a sandwich.
I know,
made.
You know what? I know when to stop talking.
That was a controversial statement. You have time for your rebuttal. And well, please sing it to the tune of Just the Way You Look Tonight.
I don't know how those verses go. Oh, geez, let me see. To dismiss a tautology just because it's a tautology is itself a tautology.
Yep. For someone who is a big fan of dictionary definitions, you didn't look up tautology.
The historical record makes clear that from the 1880s well into the early 1900s, the food in question was called a Frankfurter sandwich.
Name
a
your source.
Coney Island sandwich.
Oh, I have
even
the source
a
right
hot
here.
Dog sandwich. What happened to transform a food originally called a sandwich into something else?
Name your source. Go ahead, cite your source.
I'd like to read here for a moment, partly because I think you'll get a kick out of it, John. But The Evening Star, Monday, March 6th, 1905. Headline, President watched the parade go by. Subheadline, he had a good time. Get down to about the 10th or 11th paragraph, which I've enlarged. Eating houses overrun. As a result of the railroad congestion of Saturday evening, there was congestion in another field. Persons who were unable to get away, many of them living but a few score miles from here, were obliged to find places to dine in town. And as a consequence, the city's almost numberless restaurants were filled to overflowing for several hours. The number of people who were forced to put up with hot dog sandwiches and mugs of street-made coffee will never be known. But it certainly went into the thousands.
I think we've heard enough.
If anyone would like, we can take a couple of very quick questions. There's a microphone just here to my right, and we'll have time for just a couple of questions.
Stop! Don't come anymore.
Hello, my name is Joe, and I am from the Northeast, so this is for everybody. Lobster roll. Sandwich or not?
Well,
thank you.
I'll let the judge go first here, since that's his, New England is his turf.
Yeah, I think a lobster roll is equivalent to a hot dog. It is its own thing. It is not a sandwich. You certainly would not cut it in half, which to me is a criterion that I stand by, even though it caused a lot of boos in the audience. A tuna salad roll is the same thing.
A lot of people don't cut their sandwiches in half.
You know what? A lot of people don't.
I never cut my sandwich.
Yeah, but you're willfully misreading what I said.
When you think
of an archetypal sandwich, you might not cut it in half, but it would not be weird if you did. If you cut your hot dog in half, people would look at you and wonder what is going on.
If I took a whole hot dog and put it between two pieces of bread, would that be a sandwich?
No, you'd have to slice it up and then put it between two pieces of bread.
What if I put four hot dogs lined up next to each other so they filled the entirety of the two slices of bread?
Yeah, that would be a sandwich.
But
you would never call it a hot dog.
No, but I might call it a hot dog sandwich.
Yeah. So...
Points
I would
to
also
judge,
call that a hot dog sandwich.
Points but, to Judge Hodgman. Can we go on to the next question?
All next right. question.
Hi, my name is Sabra. I'm also from New England. So to me, a Frankfurter is served with beans and not in a bun.
Oh, okay.
But my question is about the very popular Manwich, also Sloppy Joe, right. which I think is difficult.
For lobster rolls, now Manwich?
Well, it's
have
difficult
you people
to,
even been listening?
Well, it's difficult to cut in half. And one of the things we were talking about was whether or not a hot dog you can cut in half. And I'm saying a Manwich, Sloppy Joe, hard to cut in half, but still a sandwich.
You obviously know the answer to this, right? A sandwich is a sandwich, but a Manwich is a meal.
Hi. My name is Ian. I've lived in America most of my life.
Excuse me just a moment. Can someone go into the dressing room and get me my drink? Go ahead, please.
Where are you from originally, sir?
England and Australia.
England and Australia.
Yeah. So my question is to you, Judge John Hodgman. Clearly, a hot dog is a special thing to you deep in your heart. How do you answer allegations? Excuse me, I'm asking a question. please let me. How do you answer
right.
allegations that hot dog, calling a hot dog not a sandwich is simply another example of American exceptionalism?
But it isn't a matter of American exceptionalism, and it's not a special thing to me. It's hot dog exceptionalism, do you see? Because once a hot dog is a sandwich, all is sandwich.
A perfect and classic use of the slippery slope argument.
But it's not, because a hot dog is a sandwich, an Oreo cookie is a sandwich, a burrito is not a sandwich. How is an Oreo cookie not a sandwich?
By your own logic, sir, if you brought an Oreo cookie to the fourth Earl of Sandwich as he gambled, and you said, here you are, sir, you called for a sandwich? What do you think that incompetent British administrator would say? Well done. Thank you for this.
Yes, he would say delicious.
I think if he was drunk enough, he'd be very pleased with it.
Well, he certainly would be drunk enough.
Closing statements, if you please.
This is the dumbest question of all time. It is utterly irrelevant and completely distracting from more important issues. It's a wonderful thing to get people fighting over. And there's a reason we fight over it, because the hot dog has this strange, mysterious otherness to it. And to define it as a sandwich is to rob it of its strange, gross uniqueness. And I want to preserve that because I think that it, both in terms of how it was developed and how it is currently enjoyed, it is distinct in a subtle way, but still surely from a sandwich. And you fight because you want to win. And I don't think that is valuable at all.
I fight because it's the only job I have.
Dan, let me say this. This may be heresy to those of you who wanted to see us tear each other apart. The fact is, this is the definition of a subject upon which reasonable people can disagree. And I did not know, and perhaps I should have, until tonight, that you had a radio show on WMFO 91.5 in Medford, Massachusetts, in Curtis Hall, where I too had a radio show in 1989 until 1990 on Friday afternoons from 4 to 6 p.m.
That's astonishing.
We're both WMFO jocks. And the fact is that this thing has been transformed by my pocket into a hot dog sandwich. And I happen to have a sharp knife in my pocket. And I will cut it in half and share it with you as a unity ticket. Bing!
Ladies and gentlemen, they are now eating the divided hot dog. There is a moment of comedy that has brought a tear to this hardened journalist's eye. Oh, sorry.
We should mention that the applause-a-tron is on Brooke's desk.
That's right.
And that will measure your applause. So, Brooke, if you'll please take it away.
Yes, all right. Who believes, with Judge John Hodgman, that the hot dog is in fact not a sandwich? Finish up, you're boring me. Who believes, with your host Dan Pashman, who's brought us all together so generously, that the hot dog is in fact a sandwich? The dials don't lie. Judge John Hodgman has prevailed.
Well, there you have it, friends. A classic in the books. Couple quick postscripts. I did confirm it the morning after the live taping. Look on the box of Oreos and you will see the description, chocolate sandwich cookies. That's what it says. Right in the box. Also, I now have some new data to back up my position. A 2021 survey by RTA Outdoor Living of more than 1,000 Americans showed that 57% of people say a hot dog is a sandwich. I've been playing the long game here. It took a while for people to wrap their brains around my argument, but the wrapping is happening and I am winning. My thanks to John Hodgman, whose work I really do admire. His podcast is called Judge John Hodgman. In it, he takes on seemingly inane disputes and finds not only humor, but also humanity in each of them. It's so, so good. That's Judge John Hodgman. Thanks also to my friend Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media, which is one of the smartest and most thought-provoking shows on the radio. It's also available as a podcast. This episode was originally produced by Ann Sani and me, with engineering help from Bill Moss, Noriko Okabe, and Nate Kinsella.
Our current Sporkful team includes Emma Morgenstern, Andres O'Hara, Tracy Samuelson, and Jared O'Connell. Music help from Black Label Music. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher. Our executive producers are Peter Clowney and Daisy Rosario. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Lillian in Boston, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.